Ooh, D-backs, huh? Rooting for the
Yeah.
Padres? You rooting for the Padres right now?
Whoever, bro.
Oh, boo. Come on, root for the Padres
Good
for us, dude.
baseball. Go sports.
Go sports.
I
All right,
hope
you
they
ready
have
to roll?
fun. Yeah, let's get it.
Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, master of his sleep schedule, Jody. What's up, Joe?
Not much, man. You know, I showed you earlier, I'm building this Simba Lego, putting in some work on that guy. Got three out of his four legs, his body. But the head, I guess, is going to be really intricate, so we'll see how that goes. For some reason, my camera is all blurry. Doesn't want to focus on anything. So that's cool, too. You look crisp. I can see you in, like, 4K, and I'm over here blurry. But
4K.
It is what it is. You got the, yeah, there you go. You got the Padres, Slam Diego, huh?
Hey, we
That's
start
what they're
the
calling them.
NLDS against the Dodgers tomorrow. I know this is a football pod, but baseball playoffs, let's go.
Hunt for October, as they call it. We're
yeah.
Glad we made it. Yeah, this is the time where there's a lot of stuff. Basketball is about to come back
NBA
soon.
NBA is about to start,
yeah.
yeah.
So,
got the WNBA playoffs.
Yeah, it's creeping in, I think.
Hockey's about to start. Dude, we're getting
I
we're, it's
don't
it's
know.
the
I don't know much
October
about
is like the best month of the year for sports in general. Like you just get so much going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the Aces lost to Liberty 2 in New York. See what happens with that one. But yeah. Sports, they're back.
And Becky Hammons was not happy. So we've got a really good interesting week four pod. Excited about it. You know, we, in terms of, you know, I always give the coaching update, you know, got to give you update on the squad over here.
Yeah.
We took another tough L on homecoming. But that's not the story coming out of that game. All right. We had a no cap hats off moment
in your game,
in the game.
Dang.
All right. You ready for this?
Yeah,
so, game starts, you know, I'll just give you a little quick synopsis. We score first.
Okay.
We get the 2 point, but they call us for a penalty. So then we get backed up and we don't get it. So it's 6-0. They score, you know, they counter and they get the 2 points. So they go up 8-6. We counter, we get all the way to the red zone, but we throw a pick. And then they eventually score off of that and they go up 16-6.
Okay.
Well, then we get our stuff together. We come back, we score and get the 2 point this time without a penalty. So it's 16-14. Next drive, we get a stop on defense. We force them to punt. We've got great field position, but it's starting to get dark out.
Yeah.
And so they're like, hey, we need – the referees are telling us on the sideline. They've been telling us for about 4 minutes of, like, game time, so probably 15 minutes, 20 minutes real time.
Yeah,
hey, we need to get those lights on.
Your
so they're up there.
Stadium wouldn't put them on?
So we're talking to our guys who are in the box, obviously, right,
yeah.
on the headsets and going, hey, can we get the people up there to get the stadium lights on? And they're struggling. They're not getting them on, right? For some reason, they're not coming on, right? And we don't know why. And so we're like, you know, what's the deal with this? Like, why are none of the lights coming on, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking to the referees on the field as the game is going on. We're like, hey, they're trying. For some reason, they're having trouble, right? So we're trying to explain it to them. Well, when we get the ball back on that punt, and we got all the momentum, we're down two, we're ready to go score again. We got great field position. They finally call it, and they're like, hey, we can't play right now because the lights aren't on. It's too dark. So they have to call the power company because nothing works. The breakers don't work. Nothing. Like, it's the transformer that went out that controls those lights.
I don't know if that is, but I didn't know you had Optimus Prime running your lights on Friday.
Dude, yes. So it's not even an us thing. It's a power company thing. The power company has to go fix it.
Dang. So they had to come out in the middle of the game to fix everything?
So there's like 8 minutes left in the second quarter when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
We finally just decide we're going to take a halftime because it's going to be a while for the power company to get out there and fix it. We take like an hour and a half break. and then come back on. And we just decide like, hey, we're going to play the rest of the second quarter. We're not going to take a halftime break. We're just going to, after that, play it through. Yeah. You know, so you just, it'll be halftime, but you start the third quarter right away, basically. So
did they, wait, question then before you continue, did the homecoming festivities happen during that long break in the dark?
No, it happened before pregame.
Oh,
so good thing they did it pregame, not halftime, because it would have been bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had fans in the stands, like with the lights, phone lights, you know, thinking they were funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a lighter somewhere.
So we're talking to the referees. I'm like, have you ever been part of something like this? They're like, nah. And I'm like, me neither. We're talking to the other coaching staff and they're like, hey, we have a master electrician like on staff. Like he can probably help. We're like, yeah, go look at it. And it's like, yeah, I can't do anything though because I don't have any tools or any. Like,
he's like, my work right now at work.
Nah, so there's nothing he could really do. So we had to wait. And all right, so they come back, they get the lights on. We come back out after that, after the break, and we really did not play well. First play, nice little run. Second play, we try and throw a screen, picked, and they get the ball in the red zone. So it goes from like. All the momentum is on our side. It was kind of like that, dude, that 49ers Ravens Super Bowl when the lights went out at the bench. Like, it was kind of, it was kind of like that. So we turned it over 5 times after the blackout.
Dang.
And including a pick six. And
sounds like me playing in NCAA.
Yeah, it ends up being 34-14. And so, you know, it was a tough game. It was frustrating, you know, because it felt like we were playing really well and And again, it was a bigger school. It was a team we're not supposed to beat, you know, that kind of thing. And we played with them, and we really had a good shot to beat them, and it just didn't happen. So we get a bye this week. So we're on bye week. And then district play starts next week, and those are the games that matter in terms of the playoffs. So, but it's been a good week for us, you know, self-reflection. Bye week is always one of the – as a coach, it's that finally you get that time to kind of take a – breath and self-reflect and you do a lot of, at least I do a lot of data analysis on, okay, what are we doing? Like I look at things like where are teams averaging, you know, their average starting field position. What's our, you know, based on, there's a lot of
running zone. What happened?
Yeah. There's a lot of that. Like your calls, there's a lot of like what plays their offense is running. That's hurting us. Oh man. Counter's running for 8 yards a carry right now. And we're not stopping it really, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Got to teach the O.
There's also the, like, you know, you look at like your performance by metrics. Hey, if they're starting with the ball and the 48 going in, what's offenses, a regular offenses expected points added in those starting field position situations? Okay, so how many points your teams have scored against us this year? How many points have they actually scored? And when you dig into those numbers and you factor in like, okay, well, we've also thrown a pick, you know, teams have scored on our offense and teams have scored on our special teams, and you kind of factor some things in, then you go, all right, you know, after the game, of course, you're upset, and okay, you're 1-4 right now going in the bye week, but you've played a really hard schedule. Everyone on our schedule right now has a winning record. Four of the 5 teams we played in non-district are 4-1 right now, and the other team is 3-2. So, you know, I mean, it's not like we played cupcakes.
What are they?
Teams in district, much different story. Much different story. Like it in theory, you know, you always respect your opponents and things like that. True. But in theory, it gets much easier. You know, it's not nearly.
You guys are playing up level, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so now district games are always hard, right? No matter who your opponent is, because they matter so much and everyone's trying to get wins. So by no means will they be easy, but I think the speed of the game will be a little bit slowed down and allow us to. You know, be more competitive, I guess. But I think our kids have mentally hardened a little bit. Like I said, you know, playing up and being 1-4 against that schedule where the teams are combined 19-6 right now. That's pretty good. I'll take it right now. And we played in every game. We've had good moments. It's not like every game is we've just gotten smoked and we didn't belong on the field. Like we've looked good in moments. Yeah. The last 3 games that we lost, we were winning in all 3 games at different points. So again, it wasn't like we just from opening kickoff to the end of the game, we just got smoked and railroaded. Like, no, that's never what happened. So I think our kids understand that. That was a big part of what we were doing this week is getting them to understand that. And now, you know, you get a little weekend off, long weekend, and then get to come back at it on Monday, ready to go for district. So I'm excited. I think we're going to be okay.
One last thing. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but when I was at that game, that's one thing I missed, bro. It was a regular kickoff. It was nice seeing these boys run down the field, try to make some. I mean, in high school, too, you can't take it out the end zone, right? So it was cool seeing them, you know, that, well, the first opening kickoff, the dude almost took it to the house. He got to, like, the 20. And where's this? I'm out here watching dudes play patty cake 10 yards apart, and then two dudes running and trying to see if they could outrun the kicker or something. So, yeah, that's one thing I do miss from regular football. But let's get into some NFL news right here. Kicking it off, some guy who ain't got no legs. Oof. Christian McCaffrey. Both of them are, what, Achilles tendonitis from the Germany specialist?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. He has Achilles tendonitis in both legs.
Yeah.
To me, that's insane. I don't know what that means. Like, to me, there's got to be something he's been doing to have it in both Achilles, right? Like, yeah. That's weird. That's random.
I don't know what that truly entails, if it's just sore all the time or what. But, like, there's days I feel mine where it's, like, stretching, and I'm like, I'm going to just not walk right now. I'm going to wait it out a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. I can only imagine if you got in both legs and something's actually wrong. I know his off-season workout regimen's always crazy. He's never not working, so I'm sure that plays into it, but I don't know. That's not – I mean, the Niners are doing good with Jordan Mason, or if that's his name. I'm sorry if I botched
that. Yeah, no, that's Jordan Mason.
But if they had both of them, you know, you got the power and the speed a little bit, you know, that would change the dynamic of the team. But for now, they're rolling just Jordan Mason.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if McCaffrey actually plays this year. I mean, just to be honest, you know, true. It sounds like he's going to be out for at least another month or two.
And
you know, from there, we'll see if he actually plays. I mean, it's a very interesting story for the 49ers, because it went from like, he'll be ready for game one to, you know.
Yeah. Achilles tendon, he's on the IR. And then,
yeah,
you know, it's extended now.
Yeah. The Jaguars are the last NFL team without a win at 0-4. We talked about this last week. They were this close to getting a win against the Texans. They did not. The Titans were able to pull one off against the Dolphins, and the Bengals were able to beat the Panthers. This is kind of, I think, where we were leaning. Was the Jaguars, I think, was our thought last week. And, I mean, is it really going to be this bad for Trevor Lawrence? Like, is this who he is? You know, I mean, we're talking about, it's almost going back to
different coaches.
rookie year,
yeah.
Trevor Lawrence. And it's so crazy, because he, 2 years ago, was awesome. At the start of last year, was awesome. And something happened down the stretch of last year and is carried into the beginning of this year. They're just not very, as a team, they're not very good. And Trevor Lawrence does not look very good. And I could never have expected the floor for him to be this low.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, yeah, last year I was saying they're going to be like a Super Bowl contender, and they didn't even make playoffs.
Well, they started like, did they start like 6-0 or something like that, and then ended up missing the playoffs at, you know, 9-8 or
yeah.
I mean, it just is like, man.
I think the last game they played was Texans, and that was for a berth.
Yeah. But they were much more competitive this week than the week before. They did almost beat the Texans. They forced the Texans to score a touchdown in the last 20 seconds to beat them. So there's at least a little bit of pride there, but, it doesn't get easier. Like, they're going to have to find a way to play better if Doug Peterson doesn't want to get fired.
Definitely.
At this point, that's where we're at. Is he going to get fired? That's now the talk.
What week? If they keep losing, do they get rid of him? Was Trevor Lawrence's rookie year when they made the playoffs, or was it the following year?
No, his rookie year was with Urban Meyer when they were a disaster. Oh. The following year was the first year with Dougie P, and they made the playoffs, yeah.
Because he was in Philly. I don't know. I don't remember how that all ended, honestly, if they ended up doing good or bad, and then they got rid of him, but...
Well, that is what happened. Is it's a very similar, like, hey, we went to the playoff, we won a Super Bowl, right? Had a great year. Then the Carson Wentz fall off and all the things, and the turmoil the next year. And then it was, they kind of tried to go one more year and it was so miserably bad that that's where Doug Peterson's fired. Carson Wentz is gone, like the whole thing. Yeah. And it feels system. Very similar to that situation. Yes. I agree.
Maybe it's just Dougie P. Who knows? I don't even know which side of the ball he cares about more, but I'm going to say it starts at the top.
He's an offensive guy.
But isn't he not calling the game? Hold on, wait.
No, Press Taylor.
Yeah.
Press Taylor's calling it, and people do not like him.
He made sure they knew that, though.
Yeah, people do not like him. That is the brother of Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. He's been calling it the last couple years, and I've seen a lot of calls for, dude, don't let him call the plays. Doug Peterson, take play calling in your own hands.
Yeah.
And he may, I mean, when dudes get desperate and they know they're about to get fired, they start doing things like that. So if we see that probably means that he's real close to being fired.
Hey, time will tell. And just like some more time will tell, we got two teams left 4-0, Chiefs and the Vikings. Oh, I wish we wrote down their schedule like we did last week. I'll pull that up real quick. Who do you think will stay undefeated longer before I tell you who they play?
I'm going to be honest. They both seem like the Vikings have been more dominant than the Chiefs have been. Like the Chiefs are winning some of these games, and it feels like they could be. Feels like the Chiefs could be just as easily 0-4 as they are 4-0, right? Like they're a weird team right now. Now they have winning mentality. They're the heart of a champion, whatever you want to call it. So they find ways to win these games, but they certainly don't look nearly as explosive on offense. Defensively, they're okay. But feels like they're due for a loss. The Vikings have been fairly dominant
against good teams too.
They jumped out to a big lead in Green Bay, and then Green Bay almost came back and beat them. But, if I had to take a guess right now, I might say the Vikings without knowing their schedules, because the Vikings look like more of a complete football team right now than the Chiefs do, which is crazy to say, but that might be true.
Yeah, so Chiefs have all been one score. They won by 7, 1-1, 1-5, 1-7.
Yep.
Vikings more dominant. Their closest game was last week versus the Packers. Yep. And the other close one was the Niners by 6. Beat the Texans by 27. Beat the Giants by 22. Next 2 weeks for the Vikings, they got the Jets at home and the Lions at home. And then
They could take L's in either one of those games. They could win either one of them. I mean,
yeah. And then for the Chiefs, they got the Saints at home and Niners in the Bay, or whatever you want to call it, Santa Clara.
Yeah. So I think the Chiefs have a little bit harder schedule the next couple weeks. Having to go to San Francisco, that feels like that's a game they very easily lose. The Saints are scrappy. I don't know. I think I'm going to stick with the Vikings even after hearing their next couple weeks on the schedule. I think I'm going to stick with the Vikings being the team that goes farther undefeated.
Yeah, and the Vikings after that kind of looks light too. Rams away, Colts at home, Jaguars on the road, Titans on the road.
Wow, may be able to go for a while without losing if they can win their next two games.
And then the Bears after the Titans. they got a nice string of games coming up.
Once again, though, the NFL's weird. You look at it and you're like, this team should beat this team. And then, they lose. So
I've seen all these weeks and I've been wrong. Speaking of which, my ESPN where you pick, who's winning what games. Terrible. Yeah. I'm under 500. Like, I'm not doing good at all.
Yep.
My spreads is doing better than just straight up, which is crazy. I'm not been good at spreads ever. But speaking of more, news around the league, we got Davante Adams being asked for a trade because he thinks it's a better fit than being in Vegas. Where are some landing spots you think he ends up?
Well, I think the team that makes the most sense right now would be the Cowboys.
Oh.
The Cowboys. The Jets don't make sense if you really dig into their stuff. That doesn't make sense. They have so many receivers.
That's true.
And they have offensive problems right now. They don't need to add another guy who they have to get the ball to. They got to figure out how to get the ball to Garrett Wilson. If you had Davante Adams, you might as well trade Garrett Wilson because you're not going to give him the ball.
Would you trade them for each other?
No, if I'm the Jets, why would I do that? Garrett Wilson is like 10 years younger than Devontae Adams.
And he doesn't cost much, too.
Yeah, and he's not on the big contract right now. That makes no sense. Unless it's just like, hey, Aaron Rodgers says he needs Devontae Adams and we're trying to win a Super Bowl this year and that's the only way we can do it. But even then, getting Devontae Adams doesn't guarantee you a Super Bowl. You already have an old hurt dude in Mike Williams. You don't need another one. Like, I don't know. That doesn't – the Jets one makes – is dumb to me if the Jets do that. But I think the best team for him would be the Cowboys because he just needs a quarterback who can get him the freaking ball.
Yeah, that's like, true.
He hasn't had a quarterback to get him the ball the last couple years. And Dak, if nothing else, is accurate and plays on time, on schedule, and gets people that's the ball. True. And right now, the Cowboys offense is like CD or bust. They have nothing else. Like, yeah, it's literally Dak, where is CD? So since they traded away Amari Cooper,
but they had a better running core.
Since they traded away Amari Cooper, they haven't had like another CD stepped up to fill the Amari Cooper shoes, but no one really stepped up to fill CD's shoes.
Yeah, they haven't had a prominent number two. It's just been CD checkdown.
Yeah. And I think if you add Devontae Adams to that offense, one, he fits like what he does well. Will be good with Dak and what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And he'll complement CeeDee Lamb, in my opinion. So to me, that's the best fit. I saw some stuff with the Steelers. The Steelers, yes, they need another receiver along George Pickens, aside George Pickens. But the problem is they're going to run the ball so much that I don't think you're going to get the value out of Devontae Adams. That
it's going to be the same situation there, unless Mike Tomlin, ties him down.
New Orleans, people have pointed out because of Derek Carr, and it's like, okay, they have Chris Olave. Maybe New Orleans would be okay for him, with alongside Chris Olave. That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
I think Dallas is the one that makes the most sense. They need to – Jerry Jones feels like he's the dude who needs to make that move anyway. He's getting so much flack for – the all-in quote he made in February last year, and then
done much.
They haven't done much, and so now he can kind of, if he can make this move, it's sort of like, look, see, we were waiting for the perfect move, and they make the splash, and Jerry gets the headlines, and Devontae Adams actually fits with them. Like, to me, that makes the most sense is Dallas. So we'll see where he ends up, but Dallas, to me, makes the most sense for all parties involved.
What about some other players in the NFC East? The Giants and or Commanders. How would you feel about those?
The Giants don't have a quarterback. Why? Why do that?
Or Neighbors, because he's like their only guy right now, too.
I like Wandell Robinson. I mean, yes, I know what you're saying. Yes, it makes sense. If you don't have the quarterback figured out, don't trade for Devontae Adams. That's dumb. And then, to me, Washington... they traded away Jahan Dotson because they feel good about their receivers. They don't need to bring another receiver, and they're scoring at will right now. Like, that's true. Why bring in something that could upset that ecosystem at this point? Like, you're playing well. Your rookie quarterback's playing well. I don't think you need to
there's
to do
probably
anything
no there. Pressure you want on Jaden too, where you like, hey, you got this guy Which, who's amazing. It's not to say all the time.
Yeah, it's not to say that Devontae Adams is a dude who's like a diva. I don't think he has that rap, or if he does, he shouldn't. He's a team guy, but he's also a legitimate, prestigious, like number one type receiver that any quarterback who's playing with him is going to have to feel like, oh, I got to get this dude the ball. We got to get him involved. I got to get him the ball. So, I wouldn't do it if I was Washington either. To me, Dallas is the one that makes the most sense. I've seen some stuff about the Rams. The Rams don't have the draft capital to do it, nor do they really need to? When Puka and Cooper are coming back, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I don't think the Chiefs. I know people are talking about them because they lost Rashee Rice. That's a maybe.
If they trade him in the division, they're crazy. They had to get a killing for. Yeah. There's no way you do that. Like
exactly, ever. And that's the other thing is like the Chiefs maybe would do it, but I don't know if the Raiders would do that with them. The Chargers are another team that, yes, could use a receiver, but again, same problem in division. Doubt the Raiders do that. Yeah. And Tom Telesco used to work for the Chargers. He's not going to help them. So, yeah, you put all that together. To me, Dallas is like the only team that I can see that really makes sense.
That'd be fun. Two dudes running with dreads up the sides, you know?
So
there's a team you mentioned in there. You said Pittsburgh. Do you think Justin Fields should continue to be the starter there at QB?
After what we've seen the first 4 weeks, I would say so. That team is playing for him, and they're 3-1. There's a lot of questions as to what will happen when Russell Wilson is healthy, but to me, Justin Fields is your dude right now. He's also, here's the thing, if you're winning with him right now, he's the younger dude who you could legitimately make
mobile.
Your forward for
a lot more
for,
play
yeah.
or play option run options. You know,
and Russell Wilson is kind of the old vet. Now, I don't know if there's the thing where, you know, Tomlin made certain promises to Russ, and so he wants to make sure he
does right by him.
Yeah, does right by him. I don't know if that will play a factor, but to me, if you remove the politics from it, Justin Fields is your best option right now based on how you've played as a team in the first 4 weeks of the season and what he was able to do, even in a loss against the Colts. It was his best passing day so far of the season. Mm-hmm. And he brought him back to being in that game. So I like what I've seen from Justin Fields for the first month of the season. I think he's your guy right now if you're Pittsburgh. Speaking of the guy.
Yeah. New York.
Drake May. When do we see him play for the Patriots? Are we going to see him? That's the question right now everyone's asking.
I would say you probably don't. I want to see when their bye week is real quick, because I feel like that could be a prominent time. But if it's really soon, I don't think you see it till at least like week 8 through 10 would be my guess, if that's where their bye week is.
And the other problem is the offensive line there right now.
Yeah.
Is not very good. They just lost a staple of their offensive line up front. Like, it's kind of a sketchy situation to put a rookie quarterback in right now. Brissett is not playing great by any means. So, you know, it's not like, hey, Jacoby Brissett is awesome, we need to keep him in there. Nah. I think if you're a Patriots fan, you probably want to see Drake May, but there's probably a contingency that they don't want to see him because that offensive line is so bad right now.
All right, so their bye week is week 14.
Oof. So you're not going to wait till then. If you're going to play them, you're not waiting until week 14. So
yeah.
I'm with you. He plays somewhere around week 8, 9, or 10, and if you don't see him then, probably aren't seeing him this year.
Yeah, that's my guess. I would assume. Like you said, the O-line play isn't helping much. You got Ramondre. He was carrying the team the first couple weeks and now hasn't been as dominant, and Jacoby's getting swallowed up like no tomorrow. And so, you know, we'll see how it plays out for them. They have a lighter schedule compared to most, but it's still, if you can't perform versus those dudes, it's like they either did better in the offseason and we didn't do much, or our team is just, you know, still on the struggle bus.
Yep. Speaking of quarterbacks, we gotta wrap up NFL news with one more thing here. Kirko Chains, huh? Getting an overtime dub, throwing for 500, swag surfing in Atlanta. that happened. We're recording Friday morning. That happened last night to open week 5. What a performance. Great game. Probably the best Thursday night game we've had in
forever.
And it wasn't just like, oh, this game is close, so it's good. No, it was a high level football. Like, Baker was playing well. Kirko Chains is playing
well. Battle of turnovers.
A lot of fun. Yeah, it was a fun game. A legitimately fun, good football game. And like I said, good for Kirk Cousins. You know, man threw for 500 yards. Showed Atlanta that they have a legitimate quarterback this year and that they have a shot to go win the division. And now them and the Bucs are 3-2. I believe the Saints are sitting at 2-2. The Panthers are 1-3, so this division is wide open. If the Saints manage to get a win this week, then you'd have three teams tied atop the division at 3-2. So,
yeah.
Right now, Atlanta is leading the division. We'll see if that sticks.
Yeah, I'm about to stop picking these teams. You know, I got burnt. I chose the Bucks. They had the game in their hands, made back-to-back fumbles, lost the game. And so
tough loss for the Bucks.
I've been bigger on the Bucks and lighter on the Falcons, and it just, you know, another team I did that to. This one's for Uncle Tom. I'm gonna stop thinking the Steelers are good again, because when I did that, they were 3-0. The one time I pick them, they lose. So I'm gonna be a hater for the Steelers all year, just for you. They're not winning another game. We'll start it off right there.
Oh, that's so funny. All right, let's get to awards. Award season, week 4. Week 4. All right. The Tukwa Gamer of the Week Award. Who does that go to for you, Jody?
This might be a never done before. I don't know. We'll have to.
It's definitely never done before. I'm looking, and it's definitely never been done. This is crazy. Go ahead. Yeah. But it's not. So go ahead.
So this week, we're rolling. We mentioned the Titans got their first dub of the year, right? So Speaking of that, Nick Folk, their kicker, he beat the Dolphins by himself with just kicking points.
Yeah.
He had 5, I believe, from deep. We got a 29-yarder, 51, 47, 52, and a 53. And that made him the oldest kicker to make 3-plus field goals from 50 or more yards. He's 39. And then he had 2 PATs. So he got, well, I believe, 17 by himself. Wow. And the Dolphins only had 12. So even without the rest of the squad, he would have beat the Dolphins. That's my Tukwa Gamer of the Week right there.
That's impressive. Yeah, no, that's it. Kickers are having a good year, it feels like, right?
Yeah, they've been hot early. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, for me, I'm going Sam Darnold. He's got the Vikings at 4-0, went on the road to Green Bay, threw for 275, 3 tutties, one INT. I think he's a legitimate MVP candidate after a quarter of the season. He's thrown for 932 yards, 11 touchdowns, 3 picks. Has a completion percentage of 69% through 4 games. I mean, the dude is a gamer, and he's legit right now. He's got the Vikings atop the NFC. And, I mean, I think it's not a crazy stretch to say right now he's an MVP candidate. Now, if you were predicting he's going to win the MVP, then that might be the stretch. But for now, I think the guy is – yeah, he's at least a candidate. And here's the thing. Is this the best version of Sam Darnold we've seen? Of course, by far, will he be this way through the entirety of the season? I think if you had to make a guess, probably no. Like, there would be some regression to the norm. But right now, the way he's playing for Kevin O'Connell, I think it shows, you know, and I think I've said this on this podcast before. I was a big Sam Darnold fan when I evaluated quarterbacks that year that he came out. Uh-huh. And I thought he was the best one. My rankings that year were Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen. That was my rankings. I was right on Rosen, completely wrong on Allen. I guess you could say sort of right on Baker.
Yeah.
Right on Lamar.
He is a late bloomer.
Right on Lamar, and then completely wrong on Darnold forever. And now I'm kind of sitting there going, dang, I should have stuck to my guns and been a Darnold truther this whole time and said, no, yeah, he's actually good. He's just in the wrong spots because he's finally in a situation where he's showing that all the talent that he had coming out of USC. So I'm excited for him, really happy for him that, you know, he's getting this opportunity and he's playing well, because I really did always believe in the talent. Obviously, at a certain point, you kind of, after 3 or 4 years of seeing a dude struggle, you kind of give up and, okay, well, maybe he just isn't good and I was wrong. But now he's kind of proven to me like, this is what I thought. This is what I saw coming out of USC. This is what the tape said he could be. And now he's being it. So props to him. He's being a gamer right now, week in and week out for the Minnesota Vikings.
Funny you mentioned USC. So there's on Fanatics, you could like do these little games on their app. And they have one where it's kind of like some sort of Wordle game where it's got like a group of 16. You got to pair in and fours and how they all relate. And so there was one day where it was people who played at USC or played quarterback at USC or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know he went there. So I was like, I don't know this answer. So I just started putting in random stuff. I was like, I know these 3 dudes are USC, but I don't know the last one. And then it told me at the end. I was like, dang, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That shows you my knowledge of college. I'm not.
USC's got a decent lineage of quarterbacks, from Carson Palmer to Matt Leinart to Mark Sanchez to Sam Darnold to Caleb Williams and honestly Miller Moss in the pipeline. That he's gonna be.
Yeah,
he's looking nice. Probably gets picked.
This leads us to the Jody dog of the week. This one, I got a little shout out before I get to my answer. So Kenneth Walker with his run on what was that, Monday? He broke like two tackles on the same dude. It looked like they're having a wrestling match out there. And he got up and still ran for a little more. So that was fun to watch. He almost won it with that play. But for me, this one it's a team award this week. Never been done before. I'm giving it to the Broncos defense versus the Jets.
Yeah. So,
and they played a really gritty game in the rain out in, you know, New Jersey. That's where it's actually at. And they allowed 225 receiving yards with 64 rushing for the Jets compared to their 60 passing yards and 124 rushing. They, what was it, 10-9. So, like I said, really gritty game, you know, had to lock down. They closed out with the... Well, man, I don't remember how it ended, but the Jets were trying to drive the field. They couldn't do it.
And the Jets didn't gain a yard and tried to kick a long field goal and missed.
Yeah, there you go. And so I think the Broncos, their defense is looking really nice. Got to fix some things on offense to, you know, make it a little bit easier on them boys. But they're doing well. I think Garrett Wilson had like four catches, like, I think almost 50 yards or something, and two of them weren't even on Pat Surtain, and that's where he got most, like 30 something yards or something. So it's like they're balling for sure. It's just offense. They pick it up, them boys will be looking nice.
All right, we got the minor setback for a major comeback. I'm going James Cook here. He had 9 carries for 39 yards in the Sunday Night Football loss to the Ravens for the Bills. I mean, since the back half of last season when Joe Brady took over as the OC, he's been special running the football for them. He was the focal point of their offense, you know, allowing Josh Allen to not have to play so much hero ball, really took the pressure off of him. But, you know, he's gotten off to a slower start this year, right? Only got 2 games where he's been over 70 yards rushing out of the first 4. But I anticipate him to have a big game and be a focal point of the game plan against the Texans next week. I think he'll get back on track and we'll see a 100-yard gain from him. So James Cook, minor setback, major comeback.
No, yeah, the Texans, they're hoping to get better this next week too with their running backs getting more healthy. They were running like their 3rd and 4th string.
So yeah, we'll see how Cam Akers will get his shot again.
yeah, for real. But this leads us to our no cap hats off award for the week. I know you had one from high school. What you got for the NFL?
Dude, all of this that I'm about to list off happened in the same game. I'm just, it's a no cap hats off game. Monday Night Football, Seahawks, Lions. All right. Jared Goff catches a Detroit special for a touchdown on Monday Night Football. JSN throws a long form lateral to Zach Charbonnet, like literally catches the under route and then just hucks it across the field to Zach Charbonnet, and they get a first down off of that. And then you already mentioned it. Kenneth Walker like gets like flipped and does like a somersault to break a tackle and keeps running against Anzalone. All of these plays, which were incredible in themselves, could have been just no cap hats off plays by themselves, were legitimately all in the same game. Crazy game. Crazy Monday Night Football game this week.
Crazy. So it's funny. I don't think... I didn't pick Jared Goff, but I almost did because I think he threw for like 3 touchdowns and caught one himself. So I was like, it's crazy. He might be my gamer of the week. But let's see. That leads us to our Big Fella Award. Strahan Munoz Big Fella Award. This week, I sent you that video yesterday on Twitter. A guy who I actually chose this week. I went Tyler Linderbaum from the Ravens. He's their center. 24 years old, young guy. He had a great game the other day. Let me tell you, I had fun watching him. If it wasn't for the arm sleeves, I might even throw a special name on this kid because he was looking real good. He's good at reading the defenses. He was telling everyone what to do. Quick hands in the pass pro. My guy was always finding work. I think they do a bunch of like zone scheme. So he was easy to just push him out the way, the other way going, you know, turning the shoulders on them dudes. And there's a lot of plays where this dude's going to the whistle, like typical big boy lineman.
Nasty.
Yeah, he was always getting up to level two whenever he had the chance, and you'll see where the ball finishes, he's probably blocking someone in that same exact spot, or even like falling onto him. It's crazy. Dude just loves working. Young gun. Probably going to be up and up here soon in the next couple of years for sure. You'll probably hear that name a lot more.
So it's crazy because I think this is another first for our awards. But on the defensive side, I've got another Raven. So the Ravens swept the Big Fellow Awards this week. I've got Kyle Van Noy. Had another big week for the Ravens. Two sacks, forced fumble against the Bills. He had two sacks the week before against the Cowboys. And guess what? Mm-hmm. He had two sacks the week before that. Savvy vet. Still has a lot in the gas tank. 33 years old. Six sacks in 4 weeks. Three straight two-sack performances. He's killing it for that Ravens front. And, you know, let's be honest, they lost Jadeveon Clowney in the offseason. They lost their DC, you know, a little bit of like, okay, how are they going to replace some of this production and some of what they've been doing well? And Kyle Van Noy has stepped up as a legitimate pass rusher for them early on in the season. And I think that's a guy they're going to lean on despite the age and whatnot, but the experience, he brings a lot to the locker room. He's doing a great job, and shout out Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah, that's huge for the Ravens. They had some good ball this week for sure. They were eating up. No tomorrow. They started off the game with that run, 87 yards, bro. That just tells you how them boys was cooking up.
Guess what?
Oh, that's your
first down breakdown. It's coming. It's coming. Get ready.
You can drive a truck to that lane, though. Let me tell you. I've seen that.
the Who's Cooking Award, all right, that we're giving out to our quarterback, one who's cooking. Doesn't have to be good. They might be cooking up something bad. For me, I'm going Jaden Daniels. You gave it to him last week. I'm giving it to him this week.
Yeah, I almost did too, but I was like, I can't take it back to back. I don't want to make it seem like I'm blowing smoke up this dude.
He's the best rookie quarterback so far. Yeah, you know what the kids would say to you.
Yeah.
Quick glazing.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I was going to use different terminology, but yeah, that's exactly what I'd say.
He's the best rookie quarterback so far. Super consistent. Is not only a rookie of the year candidate through 4 weeks, I would say he might be a borderline MVP candidate if his numbers were a little better. I mean, he's thrown for 897 yards. That's good. Only three touchdowns. That's probably what's keeping him out of the legit conversation. One pick, 107 rating, 82% completion rate. That's a record through four
efficient
games.
He's been real
He has the Commanders averaging over 30 points a game, and they're sitting atop the NFC East right now at 3-1. Legit, this is what I thought he could be. This is why people argued towards the end whether it should be him or Caleb Williams. Now, most people shut that down because, like, no, it's Caleb Williams. Don't, you know, it's been Caleb Williams. It is Caleb Williams. Right now, it's Jaden Daniels, everybody. That kid is special. And shout out to his OC, Cliff Kingsbury, for being able to not only direct this offense and get him right and all that, but, you know, he took the Cardinals firing pretty hard, right? Mm-hmm. He basically took a vacation. Yeah. He went to USC for a little bit, right? And kind of got right with Lincoln Riley. Well, hey, now he's back in the NFL as an offensive coordinator, and he's got this rookie quarterback playing at an elite level. He gets to beat his former team on their field, and not just beat him, but smoke him. Good for him. You know, I'm sure that felt good. And, you know, it's not about him in any way, sense, but those little personal wins, I'm sure that's something that felt good for the guy. They gave him a game ball. Dan Quinn recognized it, gave him the game ball after the game. So, but Jaden Daniels, balling out, dude. He's cooking.
What's his, I want to know what his, doesn't he have at least like two rushing touchdowns too on that? So that helps a little bit compared to just only throwing, but
yeah,
definitely could improve that number and make it look more like team ball than me ball. For me, my Who's Cooking Award, this kind of is part of the reason why I think the Steelers lost. But you'll never guess who's back. We got Joe Flacco throwing the rock up in Indy, bro. This guy, he wasn't as efficient as Jaden Daniels was. He was 16 for 26, 168 yards, two tutties versus the Steelers. Man. I don't know if I'm just being a hater or not, but I think you just rolled Joe Flacco. You could let Anthony Richardson get more rest again. Let him sit. Let him learn some ball. Let him get right with his body, because last year they lost in week 5. This week last week was week four and they lost him again. This dude just needs rest, or you know, I don't know what he needs, but you got Joe Flacco on your bench coming in, taking the dub versus the Steelers, which is a great defense, sorry. And we seen what he did last year with the Browns. I kind of think my guy is still somewhat in his prime. You know, he's a little older, of course, but he still could sling the rock like no tomorrow. And with what they do with Richardson, besides doing the run, like the run options, he could basically do everything and even better because he's more accurate. He could throw the long ball. We've seen it all last year. So, just my recommendation, let Joe Flacco sling the rock in Indy.
Okay. Hot take.
I don't know if that's hot. I think it's just on a pan right now. You turned on the stove and it's on top. I don't know if it's hot yet.
You can't give up on Anthony Richardson already, dude.
Bro.
You can't. You spent a number four pick on him.
That's also very true. They took him really early. That's why
you took him early. You can't. It's only he hasn't even made like eight starts in his career.
That's what I'm saying. There's something wrong with his body. Like, or they just treat him wrong. Because then they had that last week. He hurt his hip. They took him out and put him back in. He got hurt again.
Yeah, he's got to learn how to not take so much punishment when he runs.
Or they don't just let him not run. Let him do that when it's a dire need and not, hey, you know what? Read that lineman, and if he goes this way, you keep the ball and run. Because he's not going to slide. That's what people don't know. They don't ever slide. Aaron Rodgers will do it, but he's also 40, and he's smarter than that. He knows.
But that's what I'm saying. The only way he's going to learn those things is by playing. He's got to play. If you bench him for Joe Flacco right now, you might as well just trade him.
I would. Why not? Get another quarterback next year.
Even eight starts, dude. You're being too harsh right now.
I'm just being real.
Look at how long it took Sam Darnold, bro.
Yeah, he got to travel the world, learn things from people. We can say the same thing about Jordan Love. It took him four years before he touched
Geno Smith. You can't go away from him now. Once you make him the starter and then you go away from him as the starter, it's over. The minute you bench him, it's over.
I agree, but
they invested too much. They can't do it now. Now, five, six games from now,
send him to Miami. That's what you got to do.
Who's the Boo Boo Evans Award winner this week?
I'm a believer.
Who's the Boo Boo Evans Award?
This week we got Mac Hollins. He's on the what's it called? The Bills, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. He went 1 for 6, one catch on 6 targets for 5 yards. Just not a pretty game all around. Should have done better. You can't just... Butterfingers, you know, typical. You can't be doing all that every game in. Especially if you're getting that many targets. You know what I mean? That's a lot. If you went 1 for 2, like, all right, he caught half the ball. But 1 for 6, that's like 17%. I'm not mistaken. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but it's low. So flip that one around. But this is the best part of the show. I love it every time it comes up. We got the turnover on downs. First down, we got your trend. It goes back to what I brought up earlier with Derrick Henry, so I'll love to see what you got to say about them boys.
All right.
And it's back, huh? I see what you're cooking up again. And some beaters, huh?
Some beaters. Here we go. Yep, so we're talking little first down trends. What is happening? Oh no.
Uh-oh. There it is.
Oh, no, no. We're live. That's not what we wanted. Can you see it?
Right now I'm spinning in circles, but there it is. I see me. And you.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, make sure you pick the right screen, bro.
Well, it didn't give me an option. That was the problem.
Ah, that's where the HDMI comes in, huh? Because then you're like, I'm on this screen up here.
Here we go. We got it?
Here
we go.
Look at this lane we're about to see right here, bro. Crazy.
So you know, generally I like to watch and formulate my own opinions, and I find things that I like, right? This is how we do the job for the trends. And so far through the first 4 weeks of the season, everyone is obsessed with two high safeties. Everyone is obsessed with it because all the quarterback numbers are down. All right. So 3 weeks ago, I talked about how you run the ball versus nickel personnel, and you force teams to get bigger and bring safeties in the box, mm-hmm. and all that stuff so you can throw. Last week, we talked about the concept two high safety beater grab, right?
Yeah.
That the Rams ran. This week, we're getting back to the run game, and we're talking about the Ravens and what they do that's so creative in their run game. And I got to shout out Dan Casey on Twitter. Really good follow. Does a lot in terms of offensive trends. He has an email chain that he sends out every day. It's called One Play a Day, where he Ooh. Sends out like a different concept every day that you get in your inbox. He's a high school football coach in Texas. But he just does a lot for talking about offense, right? I mean, it's just he's really good at it. He has a whole business.
Guy or defensive guy.
He's an offensive guy.
Oh, okay.
And he has a whole business that he runs that's like his Dan Casey's football. And he got real popular during the pandemic. That's when he started really cooking, and been following him since. So he's a good follow on Twitter if you just like learning stuff about offensive football. So shout out to him. He's actually the one that coined the phrase, or that I don't know if he coined it, but the terminology that I call this is crunch. Right, that's what this run concept is called. You know, everything's got power, counter, trap, wham, whatever. Right, this one's called crunch because you're going to get a trap
across, huh?
Trap with a wham. Okay, so on the left side of the line, we'll start there. We've just got a nice little full block, right, where angles are good for our tackle to get up to the backer, and our guard to just kick out on the end, right? So we call that a simple fold block. Okay, well then when we go to our center guard combination, this is a trap because the center is going to leave the one technique unblocked to get up to the backer. You want that defensive lineman to get up the field. That's what we call a trap, right? Anytime we're kicking out on interior defensive linemen, we call those trap blocks, right? So you let them get up the field. They never see the puller, right, or the folder right here from the guard, and that's the trap block. Okay, then anytime we have a tight end essentially trapping an interior defensive lineman, that's a wham block, right? So now we kick out with our tackle play side and wham the fullback, which I believe is Ricard, right?
He got a tutty this week too.
Whams inside on the three technique. So because we have a trap and a wham together, Dan Casey said we call this one crunch. And then Mark Andrews works his way up to the safety, and the one unblocked player play side is the corner. And that corner don't want none of Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
okay?
I need to see this play for that reason because I heard about it.
So here we go. All right. So you can see it. We get the D lineman. Oh,
look at that, bro.
The trap and the wham are nasty. Look, they just clear out that side. Look at the angles.
Look at the lane, bro.
Look at the angles. Because of the way they block this, everything is blocked up and folded backside, right? And then front side, you get that's the key block, the kick out on the end, right? That's what creates the lane. And now the lane is there. The safety's trying to plug it. Well, Mark Andrews comes down to crack on the safety. That gives Derrick Henry the ability to kick outside, and where's the corner? Way out there, not trying to get in the fire, right? Then it's just a race between the backside safety, DeMar Hamlin, and Derrick Henry. And believe it or not, Derrick Henry, dude, that dude gets up over 20 miles per hour when he's running in the open field. He is fast. He's a big man. When he gets that weight moving, it is fast, and you're not catching him, all right? So great play design. I think you'll see. The reason why I put this in my first down trends is because we're going to see teams run the ball more, right? We talked about that versus two high safeties. You have to. But number two, pullers, right? When teams are lighter in the box, they don't have as many backers to get over the top to counteract those pullers, right?
Yeah.
That's something that teams have to start looking at.
Get thrown off too.
And yes, and I think you're going to see more power, counter, trap, wham, ISO, like those kinds of concepts where you're adding dudes in the run game, you're adding gaps in different places, and teams are playing with a nickel who's not going to go be able to play in the run game that way as efficiently as a true linebacker does. So that's why that's in our first down trends. And once again, shout out Dan Casey, because he's the one that kind of broke that down. And I saw it and I said, you know what, I'm just taking that and snagging it for our podcast, because that's so good that I don't need to go find something else.
Open the game that way too.
First play of the game, nasty.
Set the tone for sure. Second down, we got my bet for this week. So I chose three of them. We'll see which one I pick right now. But first one I liked was Bills favored 1 point at Texans. But I might change myself on that one. I might just stay away after I brought up the running back situation. We got Browns at Commanders. Commanders are favored 3 points. Like that one. Deshaun Watson hasn't done anything. So, and the Commanders are scoring at will everywhere they go. So that one's probably going to be chosen. This one, I don't even know why I wrote this one down. But Ravens-Bengals under 50.5. I don't know. I guess I think it's going to be an ugly game. But I think I heard a stat recently where every game they played had gone over whatever their number was. And it might be like 52 plus on all those games. So, yeah, I think Commanders -3 is an easy take out of the ones I wrote down this week.
Oof. I don't know, man.
Yeah? What, Miles Garrett back? He's balling?
The Browns' defense is better than any defense the Commanders have played so far. And you're still talking about, I know he's cooking, but he's still a rookie quarterback, and he's due for a bad game, and it's the NFL, and it's weird. You have 1-3 versus 3-1. Everyone's going to be on the Commanders. I don't know, man. I kind of think I like the Browns to cover, actually. Just saying. Just throwing that out there. Yeah. If I was taking one,
man, so we're switching. We're going to the Bills game.
No. Actually, I was going to say the one I like that you have up there is Bills Texans. I like the Bills to bounce back. I'm with you. And the Texans have not looked that good. Even though they're winning some of these games, they have not looked good.
Yeah. No, I think that's the right answer. Because that is all very true. Didn't they play the Cowboys? Hold on. Didn't the Commanders play the Cowboys? Am I bugging?
No, they haven't played the Cowboys yet.
When did Micah get hurt? What game was that?
The Ravens game?
Oh, never mind then. All right. Well, yeah, Bills -1.
Or the Saints game. I think they when they played the Saints. Yeah.
The Saints. That's who blew them out. All right. Bills all right. -1. That's my answer this week. On the road at Houston.
All right, so we got the third down breakdown. Of course, we're giving you a game that, a third down during a game that made the difference, ultimately, and winning or losing. And so we're going to go to that Jets-Broncos game that Jody mentioned earlier. All right, Jody, are we on? Can we see?
Yeah, we're good. We see and, right, empty.
Yep. Yeah. So, once again, if you're listening, I always highly recommend you watch this part of the segment. It's good stuff. So this is towards the end of the game. The Jets get the ball on the 32-yard line going in, and basically they're not able to move the ball whatsoever, really. And this is the third down, or I'm sorry, they got the ball. It's 3rd and 6. They move the ball 4 yards. My apologies, to the 32-yard line, right? Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get in field goal range to go win the game, right? Because it's 10-9, and they are in field goal range, but they're trying to make it an easier kick, of course. So best what you get here, 3rd and 6, they go empty. All right, up top, they're going to run a concept that most people call stick or stick and roll, right? So you got the stick route, which is the sit route right on top of the what you usually think of as the flat defender. You're hoping you get zone when you run this, because you run the stick. And then you run the flat underneath it. If it's man, it works okay, because sometimes you can get the pick route, basically, right?
Yeah.
And then up top, it's just we're running vertical. You're usually not the read, right? You're trying to throw the stick or the out. You're
clearing it out for one of those.
Yes, you're the clear out route generally, right? Clear it out for the out route. On the bottom of the screen where we have our two receivers, we're going to get a slant. And then because of the look by the Broncos, right, they're showing cover 0, sending 6 versus 5. Yeah, well, yeah, Breece Hall is the receiver down there. He's going to chip on the edge player because they know they don't have enough to block 5, 6 players. So Breece Hall is actually going to, even though he's split out, he's going to end up being part of the protection to try and chip the edge player here. All right. Now, the Broncos are going to be in man coverage, but they're not going to bring 6. What they're going to do is show the simulated pressure and then drop out with their two mugged up A-gap backers right now, and they're going to drop out and help out on the unders. Okay. So we'll let the play out here. You'll see that simulated pressure really messes with the Jets O-line, right? Breece, he brings him in a little bit to help in the protection. There's the protection help, right? You see they're in man, but guess what they do? The Broncos switch it.
Oh.
So now you have inside defender covering the stick, outside defender playing the flat, one-on-one up top. Backers drop out, so even if you want to throw the slant or the stick, like there's nobody there. Right now, pressure's getting home because you had to change your protection because you thought you were bringing six with that simulated, right? So now Aaron Rodgers only has one shot, one choice. I'm going to throw it up vertical to my guy one-on-one over there and see if we can make a play, and they don't make it, right? So it's really smart defense by the Broncos. It's really good stuff against empty. Don't really love the play call from the Jets, to be honest, but I know it's third and six, so you're hoping you can get the out or the stick for a first down. Then Rodgers just gets pressured, and now your guy outside your corner one-on-one has to make a play, and he does. And then he's complaining that he got PI'd by the offense, and it's kind of funny. But this leads to a missed kick by Greg Zuerlein and a win for the Broncos. So that's good defense. You know, I feel like we try real hard to show you both examples of good defense and good offense here. And so on that third down breakdown, the Broncos, I just think it was a great play call to give you the simulated pressure, but then to back out and be able to win all your one-on-one matchups. Great execution of the switch on the stick route.
Nice.
You get home to Rodgers, force him to just throw it up to his one-on-one, and then your corner makes the play. That's a great snap of football from that Broncos defense. That's the kind of stuff that makes me happy.
That crunch time, too. That was deep in the trenches of that game. So pretty ball. That switch was really nice. I don't know. I don't know how else to say it, but you could see when you paused it, the dude was already running to the out, and the other homie was already right on top.
Yep. It's good. It's good stuff, man, especially in man coverage. When you can switch routes like that, it makes your life a lot easier.
Yeah. Fourth down on the turnover on downs. We got my bad beat from last week. No, I didn't mention it today, but I sent it to you early when it happened. I was like, oh, here we go. We got our first one on the board for this guy. So Cowboys-Giants game. Let me paint this picture. We got the overs in question. Damn, I didn't write down the line. I think it was 38.5 is what the line was. Ended at 38. So, or maybe it was at 36, line was 38.5. So if they make this field goal, they hit the over. But now here's a guy, right, that has been money from 50 yards out all year. Doesn't miss his field goals. Brandon Aubrey, been money. I think he's only missed three ever, including two before, three with this one now in his two-year career. Goes out there, kicks the field goal. Nope. Not on money today. Game over. Doesn't hit the over. They pan to Dak Prescott. My guy's just sitting there laughing because he knows what just happened. And
he's laughing at the bettors.
Yeah, everyone not else good for the product. Can't get their bread. Yep. And another game going under for the league. I think he was 15 for 15 on the year. Couldn't pull it off with this one. Misses his first one on the season. So Cowboys, Giants fans, or whoever else bet the game, sorry to hear it for you. That was a tough one.
All right, before we get to the banger of the week, I just want to preview week 5 a little bit. For all you folks out there who like to get up and see the first game of Sunday morning, we got an international game.
London.
Jets Vikings this week. Jets Vikings could be a good game. Could be a good game. That also, when we were mentioning the Vikings schedule, that also throws things off. Like if the London games, it's all bets are off, dude. Like who knows? So we'll see. We'll see if the Vikings can pull that one out. We got Bears, Panthers, Browns, Commanders, Patriots, Dolphins. Gosh, all those games kind of suck. Colts, Jaguars.
Dolphins?
Whew. Bills, Texans. Excited for that one. Yeah. Ravens, Bengals. Excited for that one. The late slate. Raiders, Broncos. Meh.
A lot of
Cardinals, 49ers. Excited for that one. Seahawks, Giants. Could be good. Packers, Rams. Rams really need to get a win there.
Ooh,
then the Sunday night game, Cowboys Steelers. Ooh, good game. I'm excited for that one. And Monday Night Football this week, Chiefs Saints. Yep. Jody, which game are you most excited for?
Oh, this week? Who'd you say the Ravens were playing?
The Bengals.
That one's good, and I think that Bills game's good. We haven't seen Joe Burrow perform to what we're used to seeing from those first couple years. So, of course, divisional game. Always bad blood right there between them boys. They're always good games. But right here, we're in a desperate spot for the Bengals to get a dub because they're, what, 1-3?
Yep.
Ravens are looking nice, especially after blowing out the team last week. So
they're 2-2. They need the win as well. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, if they lose, then the Ravens and Bengals are tied at 2-3. So, and they're all chasing the Steelers right now.
Yep.
I think Bills, Texans, Ravens, Bengals in the early window is the two games I'll be watching for sure. You know, maybe Browns, Commanders. I mentioned that could be a decent game. And the later window, to me, Packers, Rams, Cardinals, 49ers are the two games you want to watch. And then I think the game I'm most excited for, though, Cowboys, Steelers, or maybe Sunday, even the London Jets, Vikings could be a really good game.
It's just early. But, you got to just get up for it.
Yeah, no. But Cowboys, Steelers, to me, that's the game I'm excited for. That Sunday Night Football game should be very good this week. I'm really excited for it. All right, Jody, it's your turn. The Bengal or the banger butchered it completely. Sorry, y'all. The banger of the week goes to what, Jody? What you got for us?
So I think I talked about it when we were in the trip, but I had a week or a work trip a couple weeks back. It might be a month ago, actually, now at this point. Maybe 3 weeks. But we went down to Costa Mesa for a work thing. And on our way down, we stopped for some breakfast and then some coffee. So we hit up a Starbucks on the way down there. And mind you, I already had breakfast. I woke up, you know, 2 hours before we even, or an hour before we left, I think. 2 hours by the time we got to the Starbucks. And in my head, I was like, I'm not that hungry. I'll get like a croissant. You know, I love their croissants. Always warm, soft, buttery, you know, the nice thing about the croissant there at Starbucks. But as I was sitting there, I was like, you know, I don't know when the next time I'm going to eat is, you know. Like, it could be lunchtime, and that could be noon, could be 11, maybe even 1, you know, big time frame. Mind you, it's like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I should probably just get something, and I was looking at the menu, and it was a egg, spinach, and feta wrap. And mind you, I have spinach and eggs every day for breakfast. And I was like, you know, that sounds pretty good. It already sounds like what I just had, but the picture it had, it looked like it was just egg whites, you know? And then they sprinkled the cheese on there and they put it in a little burrito looking thing because the wrap is a different concept of carbs. But had that and I was like, wow, this is really good. And that might have started my feta intake because ever since then I've been throwing feta on my breakfast. Probably need to stop because, you know, cheese ain't working with me too well, but it tastes good. Don't get me wrong. So yeah, the spinach, egg, and feta wrap from Starbucks is my recommendation. It was really good. I liked it.
Nice. All right, I have to try it. Without further ado, though, we got to throw it to our guy. That's a wrap on week 4. Get ready for week 5. Take us out, Ray Ray. Ready for war. Section in the stands going crazy. Everybody turning up, we putting on a show. Boomers, we be popping, and the people, yeah, they love. 951, be the city, never change. We the Chaparral Boomers, everybody know the name. We ain't here to make friends, we gon' let them see. Get your chain snatched like a key crab tree. Squad full of goons, be ready to bring the pain. Show them how we do, we about to let it bang. About to go and get it, kill them with the swag. Trying to act tough, they be looking, we just laugh. See them getting mad, cause they know we ain't stressed. We prepared for this moment, we done passed all the tests. Been through the rain, been through the struggle. We ain't never break, we just put on more muscle. Put on for the city, man, running with the pride. Friday night lights when the Pumas come alive. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show 'em how I'ma do it, let it bang, yeah.
turn me up. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang. Put on for the city, that's really all that we do. Yup, nothing to lose and a whole lot to prove. On the field late and I'm in the gym early. Overtime, my grind, I can see him worry. Put the pads on, we about to bring the boom. The Legion of Doom, everybody better make room. You can see the fuse from the fire. Product of the pain and the hunger and desire. Talking like you want it, man, I hope you ain't lying. Bottom line, we the boomers, but we feeling like some lions. Dropping off heat at your feet every week. Everybody wanna be a beast till it's time to eat. Oh, we gon' see if you really bought it. Thinking you get in on me, boy, I really doubt it. Putting in work, being steady with the grind. You ain't taking nothing, player, this is all mine. Throw your boomers up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that boomer pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, let it bang. Show 'em how a boomer do it. Let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang. Blood, sweat, tears, time getting near. I've been saying that for so long, now it's here. Come through the whole chin, checking everybody. We just put them in the dirt, man, treat it like a hobby. Oops, I mean habit, L's can't have it. We ain't standing around waiting for nothing, we grab it. I remember putting in work all alone. Now my team with me and we all in the zone. Never giving nothing, so you better understand. We don't care about your plan, this is Boomer Pride Land. Get into the huddle, tell the fellas, turn it up. Fourth quarter coming, throw them double deuces up. Let them know what's up, man, the crowd never dying. Refy keep holding me, man, quit crying. Put your boomers up, show them Boomer Pride. Friday night lights when the boomers come alive. I throw your boomers up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that boomer pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, let it bang, show them how a boomer do it. Let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang.